The Griffin sisters were once America's musical darlings, until they weren't. Their spectacular rise in the early 2000s culminated in 13 million albums sold, arena tours, and a devoted fan base before they vanished completely from public view. What happened that fateful night in Detroit when guitarist Russell D'Angelo died remains one of music's greatest mysteries. Was it an accident or suicide? And why did the sisters Zoe and Cassie never perform together again? The truth lies buried beneath 20 years of silence, secrets, and songs left unsung. When 18-year-old Cherry Rohrbach discovers she's the daughter of Zoe Griffin, she sets in motion a chain of events that will finally bring these three women face to face with the past they've been running from, and perhaps the future they never dared imagine. Cherry Rohrbach feels like an outsider in her New Jersey family. While her half-brothers focus on sports and her stepbrother, Bix, stares at her, Cherry lives for music, a passion her mother, Zoe, actively discourages. The music industry chews up girls, Zoe warns whenever Cherry shows interest. Their tension escalated when 6-year-old Cherry discovered a Griffin Sisters CD, revealing her mother's secret past. Zoe's refusal to discuss it only strengthened Cherry's determination. Now 18, Cherry has developed her musical identity despite her mother's resistance. After discovering a viral video of her aunt Cassie singing in Alaska, Cherry convinces the next stage competition to give her 7 days and $10,000 to find Cassie and persuade her to perform together, not just to win, but to understand her family history. Cherry tracks her aunt to a remote Alaskan treehouse where Cassie greets her with a rifle. Despite this cold welcome, their shared musical talent forms a connection as Cherry uncovers the painful story that separated the Griffin sisters for 20 years. Before becoming the Griffin sisters, Zoe and Cassie Grossberg performed at a Philadelphia coffee shop in the early 2000s. Confident Zoe contrasted with shy Cassie, whose voice was like scuffed marble, a pour of molten gold with a raspy growl on top. Talent manager David Katz discovered them, sparking a record label bidding war. After signing with Relic Records, their rise was meteoric. Within months, they were opening for major acts and becoming cultural phenomena with their hit, Night Ride. Their success was remarkable during the Britney Spears era when female artists were marketed on appearance. Cassie's authenticity resonated powerfully with young women who felt understood by their lyrics. The band dynamics shifted when guitarist Russell D'Angelo joined. Initially paired with Zoe, Russell and Cassie developed an intense creative connection that produced most tracks on their triple platinum album, a partnership that ultimately became the catalyst for the band's implosion. At the heart of the Griffin sisters' destruction lay a devastating love triangle. While Russell and Zoe were the public couple, his musical collaboration with Cassie evolved into something deeper. Russell validated Cassie's talent. "You have a gift. You make people feel less alone. This is what you were born to do." Zoe's relationship with Russell was strategic. She pursued him to secure her position in the band, fearing Cassie's talent. She announced their engagement on the Today Show without Russell's knowledge, planning to divorce him later after establishing herself. Everything imploded one night in Detroit. Cassie and Russell ended up in bed together, and Zoe walked in after receiving an accidental duplicate room key. Russell followed her out, and Cassie never saw him again. That night, he died after being hit by a car, leaving only a note: "I'm sorry, I never should have touched you." The aftermath was catastrophic. Zoe accused Cassie of driving Russell to suicide, and Cassie, consumed by guilt, disappeared. Their band, sisterhood, and music all died that night in Detroit. After Russell's death, the sisters' lives diverged dramatically. Cassie retreated to a sparse treehouse in Alaska, living with only her dog Wesley and the bare essentials. No art, no photos, just a single bed and plastic tub. Daily, she wrote, "I'm sorry," in notebooks, believing she deserved punishment for Russell's death. When their music experienced a revival through a Netflix show, Cassie donated all royalty checks to charity, rejecting opportunities to capitalize on renewed interest. Zoe discovered her pregnancy after Russell died, though she harbored a secret even from her daughter Cherry, uncertainty about whether Russell or their drummer Tommy Kelleher was the father. Abandoning her solo career aspirations, Zoe married Jordan Rohrbach, had two sons, and constructed a carefully controlled suburban life in New Jersey. She deliberately erased her musical past, creating tension with Cherry, whose musical talent painfully reminded Zoe of everything she'd lost. Cherry's search for her aunt forces both sisters to confront their buried past. When she finds Cassie in Alaska, Cherry convinces her to reveal what truly happened with the Griffin sisters. For 20 years, Cassie has carried the belief that her actions drove Russell to suicide. Meanwhile, Zoe confronts Jordan about his son Bix's inappropriate photos of Cherry. When Jordan focuses on how Zoe discovered the photos rather than their disturbing nature, she delivers an ultimatum. Either Bix leaves or she'll take her sons and go, finally prioritizing her daughter's safety over her marriage. The most powerful revelation comes when the sisters reunite in Los Angeles. Zoe confesses she pursued Russell due to band insecurity, was unfaithful with Tommy Kelleher, and suggests Russell's suicide note wasn't meant for Cassie. She admits her pregnancy ultimatum may have driven Russell to drink before his fatal walk. These confrontations force both women to examine their protective narratives. Only by embracing the full truth, messy and painful as it is, can they begin healing. The novel's resolution centers on music's healing power. After confronting Zoe, Cassie processes Russell's love while wandering through Los Angeles. Back in Alaska, she heeds an inner voice urging her beyond isolation and volunteers at a music program for special needs adults. Cherry loses her spot on the next stage, but gains her mother's honesty. Zoe apologizes for disbelieving Cherry about Bix, reveals uncertainty about Cherry's paternity, and explains her discouragement stemmed from personal trauma. When the sisters reconnect, Cassie admits her jealousy, while Zoe confesses feeling possessiveness rather than love for Russell. They acknowledge their failures and choose forgiveness. "Being mad at you won't bring Russell back. Being mad at myself didn't," Cassie says. The three women begin making music together, Cassie on piano, Cherry on guitar, joined by Zoe. They perform at a PTA fundraiser, with Cherry suggesting the next stage should know. During their signature song, Cherry realizes it speaks to loving someone who hurt you. Sometimes our greatest hits aren't chart toppers, but moments when we choose connection over fear. Their restored harmony becomes their most powerful song, never recorded, but forever changing their lives.